It's a pleasure to be with you on this patronal feast day of Saint Benedict of Nursia, a reformer, a monastic who established a significant rule of life for his Benedictine monks, and one whose rule of life has been studied and explored and reflected upon for generations and centuries since. I have always wondered what it would be like to be a monk. Now, as a clergy person, I've spent many nights away from home on retreats and workshops at monasteries. And in my experiences, these are places with small rooms, very small single beds, and regular meal times with food that is sometimes good and sometimes bad. So for me, monasteries are places for retreat. And that's often been the way in which I and others like me may have regarded the whole of monastic life, a place where people live in perpetual retreat and have strictly adhered to meal times. But the monks that I have met, while they do live in isolated communities, don't seem to be themselves on retreat. The brothers of the Ascension Priory in Jerome, Idaho, for example, strive very hard to maintain a working farm, tend to the retreat house, and form the younger monks who join them, as well as tending to the spiritual and practical needs of the larger community that surrounds them. These are Benedictine monks who follow the order of Saint Benedict of Nursia. While I have known these brothers from benefiting from their hospitality while I have been on retreat, their lives are not lives of retreat. Their lives are challenged by taking vows and living in community, rubbing elbows with each other, and somehow navigating the complexities of relationships with people who are not blood family. This would be like taking your church family home with you and living with them day in and day out, embracing their humanity, their quirks, and their gifts. What would make them do this? My curiosity got the better of me, and I revisited the rule of Benedict. Benedict of Nursia had his monks take three vows and adhere to many corresponding values related to those vows. And in reading through the vows, the one that caught my attention most was conversatio morum, or conversion of life. Unlike metanoia, which is the Greek word for a conversion that means literally to turn, as to turn away from one thing to another, conversatio morum has an entirely different meaning. Conversatio morum is an everyday choice. It's like looking in the mirror every morning and deciding what course of action your life will take on that particular day. In the case of the Benedictine monks, as I understand it, it means being faithful to a path that is on union, on a course of union with God. So it's like a daily prayer, and it's ongoing. The Benedictine monks that I know must be engaged in a lot of hard personal work, challenging reflection and ongoing discipline as they strive to live in this particular way. I'm curious about how this works because life itself is constantly changing. As we have walked through the uncharted territory of COVID these past 4+ months, can you believe it? The constancy of change has been our only map. We've experienced days of thinking that we knew one thing about COVID, only to learn the exact opposite by nightfall. I think I can say almost with certainty that every one of us gathered has experienced a bit of whiplash as we have navigated this path we are on. And add on to that, the much needed work on systemic racism and the protests and disturbing self-reflection. We are in the middle of a great reform. And this has been unsettling at least, and downright tough at most. So what does this monastic idea of conversatio morum look like in these circumstances? Going back to the Benedictine monks, being converted of life is about intentional living, even amidst, or perhaps especially amidst, upheaval. It's about adapting and rededicating ourselves over and over and over again to this path toward God. It is about, as Proverbs said this morning, searching for the hidden treasures. Richard Rohr, the wonderful author and spiritual guide, has some wise things to say about how we address change, and I think it fits well with what Saint Benedict would say. Rohr says that change and the reorientation that comes with it can either help people to find new meaning, or it can force people to close down and slowly turn bitter. The difference, Rohr says, is determined precisely by the quality of our inner life, our practices, and our spirituality. In this time of significant change, you've probably all had to dig a little deeper some days, tapping into that place of faithfulness in order to remain positive and hopeful. You've had to be a little more intentional, we all have, about what it means to faithfully follow Jesus in times of uncertainty. I think that is probably why more people are engaging in worship and in study and in prayer, because we are going deeper. We are walking the path toward union with God. While Jesus himself was not a Benedictine monk, obviously, what he taught his followers was conversatio morum. Today's lesson from Luke is about making choices. And in that passage, Jesus challenges his followers to think about the cost of being a disciple. And he doesn't allow for much compromise in that respect. Jesus is clear that the cost is significant. In fact, the cost of discipleship is everything. As Jesus says when he puts the final touch on his lesson, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Fairly often, the word possessions in this passage has been interpreted as material goods, and that's a viable interpretation. As in the gospel, first Jesus and then later his apostles in the letters describe the giving up of one's personal possessions in order to follow Jesus. Yet, we're invited to consider what a possession might be. Is a possession my independence? Is it my willfulness? Might a possession be my firmly held opinion or my sense of rightness? Could it be a habit, a bias, a prejudice? Might it not be privilege? I find that when I am pondering my own limitations, my own desire for self-preservation, the cross is a very helpful symbol. It is really two lines, one that is pointing up toward God and the other spanning vertically toward our neighbor. This understanding of our primary Christian symbol informs thoughts and actions as we determine how to engage in these rapidly changing circumstances. And this symbol is also very Benedictine in nature. To ponder the cross leads us to consider how we are living into the selflessness of our calling. in these times of unrest, when we find our society, our country, even our world rocking with change, we each need to examine what we are holding fast to give up in order to reorient ourselves. And that was what Benedict of Nursia was talking about. Consistency. Leads toward union with God. Again and again, looking in the mirror and facing what is selfish or possessive so that we can become selfless in our way of living. Conversatio morum, a devotion to a way of life over the long haul. One Benedictine scholar notes that this particular Benedictine vow is more of a rubric than a promise. And our prayer book is full of rubrics, so we know them to be the way that things are to be done. So I invite us to consider the challenge of living this rubric, of devoting ourselves to this path toward God, taking a route that is marked by selflessness. This is a daily devotion that begs us to ask ourselves this question: what am I grasping so tightly that I may need to let go of in order to follow Jesus?